A project at Georgia State University is seeking people's personal stories about reading and writing. The stories are then stored in a digital archive in partnership with Ohio State University. Assistant Professor of English, Dr. Michael Harker, is the co-director of the Digital Archives of Literacy Narratives, or DALN for short. WABE's Kate Sweeney sat down with him and began their conversation by asking exactly what he means by the term literacy narrative to begin with.
These are stories about the circumstances under which you learn to read and write. People will start off with maybe a story that they have about a parent or a friend that's introduced them to a particular book. And then inevitably that experience will lead to other experiences with literacy. And so sometimes I describe it to people in terms of, well, you know what a big science project is, like mapping the human genome. Well, what we're doing is trying to collect many literacy narratives. And so this is a big humanities project.
You know, that's a really interesting parallel that you draw between mapping the human genome and this project. And that makes me think, you know, it must be a really wide sampling of folks that you're actually looking for.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to suggest that the projects are the same. You know, I mean, we're talking about totally different disciplines, of course. But like in terms of scope, this we're really trying to collect and document as many literacy narratives as possible. People of all ages, race, communities, backgrounds, and interests to contribute stories about how, but more importantly, in what circumstances did they learn how to read and write? And also, how did they help others to learn to read and write? Those stories are just as fascinating, just as important to preserve.
There's an archive, there's an online database, and people can go and listen to them if they want or submit their own.
That's right.
And let's take a listen to one of the forms that can take right now.
Okay.
I want to start with one from someone named Maggie Sullivan, and we'll just begin by listening to the very first part of her literacy narrative. Here's Maggie Sullivan.
My mom found out I couldn't read when I was 6. It wasn't that I couldn't read at all. I could, but it never came easy. I found the books I was reading in class or picking out of the school library to be boring, never able to really find one that engaged me. My mom was a speed reader, able to go through books in days, whereas it took me weeks, sometimes months, and I always wanted to be able to read as she did. We spent almost every night of 2 years going through the collection of Nancy Drew books my mom had started to buy for me, sitting together in our maroon lazy boy recliner, alternating the pages we read aloud, my mom asking me to give her a summary of each chapter as we went. It was slow work, and it helped a little.
The first thing that I'm struck by is that, you know, I think sometimes when you talk with people about literacy, there's this assumption that it's simple. And that it's just reading and writing, and that once you've kind of figure it out, you know, you've got it down. And it's really easy to forget that literacy is not simple, and it's hard work. And I think that if you listen to, you know, what's going on behind what Maggie's saying, is she's suggesting that this wasn't an easy process for her.
And, you know, you really feel for this mother because she obviously loves reading also and wants her daughter to experience that same feeling.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the valuable things about the Digital Archive of Literacy Narratives is that we have a record of this. And this is somebody who's explaining to us not only their struggles with reading, but we also have somebody who's creating a record of their motivations for why they wanted to learn more. It's just valuable to anybody doing any research about this particular moment with respect to literacy.
Let's listen to the second part of Maggie's story.
And in the fall of 1998, I found Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I picked up a copy and sat to read the first paragraph, and I found that the words on the page seemed to flow with an ease I didn't think was possible. One paragraph turned into a page, and I was in disbelief. And in what seemed like an instant, I had devoured the entire first chapter. I was actually reading, and I liked it.
Yeah, so a lot of readers, I think, can sympathize with this experience, right? We came across a particular work or particular book, and it transformed the process for us. And you can go into the archive and listen to person after person who's saying, not necessarily Harry Potter. Sometimes it's Nancy Drew. Sometimes it's you know, another character. But you know, for Maggie, this was a transformative experience.
It also makes me think about the fact that it can be really tricky to sort of figure out what to do as that parent of a kid who's a reluctant reader.
Sure, it can be really tricky as a parent who wants to encourage a student to read, but especially a parent who might have a child that's in compulsory schooling, where you know this process becomes very rigid and very linear, and may take away some of the joy.
So now let's continue and listen to an excerpt from a literacy narrative from a woman named Valerie Lee. She grew up in Southern Maryland.
When this narrative was taken, she was the chair of the Department of English at Ohio State.
And she actually reveals in this narrative that her grandparents could not read. She is also African-American, and that's part of the story. And since this is an excerpt, I understand it sounds like from a longer story. Some of the edits are actually a little bit uneven, but it's absolutely worthwhile listening. So let's do that. This is Valerie Lee from her literacy narrative about her grandfather who could not read, but who worked as a mail carrier.
He knew what letter to place in what office. There were times when he was stopped and he would bring a letter home, and because I could read so well, and I would tell him what the letter said, and then he would just take it back the next day and give it to the appropriate person. So I always felt good that I helped him keep his job, and it was through reading. I come from communities that have never bought this idea that there's only one type of literacy. There's one way to speak, there's one way to write, and that must be the printed page, and the printed page printed in a certain way.
This story suggests that literacy is not black and white. And what I mean by that is that there are sort of degrees of literacy.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I hear when I listen to this story, because, the first part of the story, which we didn't play here, is where she talks about how her earliest recollection of literacy involves writing or putting together the word fab, because she kept seeing F-A-B as the detergent that her mother had. And so she was able to kind of assemble this word, and she, you know, uttered the word fab. And so what she remarks on when she's talking about her grandfather at one point is she suggests that he was able to rise from being a custodian to this mail clerk because he somehow figured out how to assemble letters in the same way that she did. And I'm not sure if everyone counts that kind of assembling as literacy, right? Standard kind of commonsensical definitions of literacy hold it as being kind of reading and writing and having a particular fluency within a community. But we don't always think about the degrees of literacy that people possess, and that once you become literate, really, you know, the hard work is just starting.
And it's a good reminder, too, that often we go through our own lives not finding our own stories to be particularly interesting or notable.
Sure. And, you know, last month we received our roughly 6,000th literacy narrative from former President Jimmy Carter, and that was a typed letter. He starts off his narrative by saying, "I'm not sure that I have a very interesting story to tell you." And that is the most common response that we get from people. And so I think the fact that somebody of his stature, you know, also maybe felt the same way, but also sees the value in an archive like the DALN bodes well for the future of the archive and its place at Georgia State.
So you're looking for people to submit their own stories mm-hmm. about the role literacy and reading has played in their own lives. Mm-hmm. And how can they do that?
They can do it two ways. They can go to the DALN.wordpress.com and click visit the DALN and contribute a narrative there just by following the instructions. Or they can navigate directly to DALN.osu.edu.
Dr. Michael Harker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.